All right. Now, we have on the phone with us a professor of medicine at the NYU Medical Center, an author, a contributor to Fox News. And I want to welcome him back to the Judge Jeanine Pirro Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show. And so join me in welcoming him, Dr. Mark Siegel. Good morning, Dr. Siegel. How are you today?
Great to be back with you, Judge. I followed you to Europe and I just returned.
You went to Malta?
I did. What an interesting place, Malta. I didn't know the British owned it for all those years, and everybody's owned it. It also fought off the Nazis. What an interesting and beautiful place.
Where exactly is Malta? It's near Italy or Greece? Where is it?
It's and you were in Italy. It's just a stone's throw from Sicily. It's literally like about a 45-minute ferry ride from Sicily. And then there's another island right off of Malta called Gozo that we were on. It's just in a gorgeous place. A lot
of history. But how many people are on Malta? And then we'll get to COVID. But that I've never been there, and I don't know anyone who's been there.
So 500,000 people there. They have a place called Medina that literally is unchanged from the Middle Ages, and they actually have houses made of stone that are handed down from generation to generation. And the Knights of Malta are very famous. The Knights of Malta used to do deals with the pirates and sell all kinds of goods. You know, very scurvy lot. But they're very, very famous over there on Malta. Malta's an incredible place.
Yeah, well, one of these days. Anyway, I'll put it on my bucket list. All right. Dr. Siegel, look, you have been involved in, reporting and analyzing on everything regarding COVID since this whole the pandemic started, and people have come to know and trust you as I do. And it is it's a sad place that we're in right now, because everyone says, oh, it's politicized, but is that when people like Kamala Harris say they won't take the vaccine if it's the Trump vaccine, and Joy Reid, who's on MSNBC, who says, oh, I don't trust it if Trump's involved. And, then they wonder why the minority community is hesitant to take the vaccine. And the truth is that when they claim that it's the Trumpers who aren't taking the vaccine, it's the minority community and, at the other end, the most educated who are somewhat reluctant to take it. How do you convince people to take it, or should it just be their decision?
Well, first of all, as you know, Trump himself took it. And back when I interviewed him last July, he said he would take it on camera with me. I wish we had actually done that, because President Trump himself is not against this vaccine. He had a lot to do with it. He put together a public-private partnership that worked really well. I wish we had done the same for testing, by the way. We don't have enough testing. You made a really great point about the minority community. That has to do with a deep-rooted distrust of the federal government and of public health officials. We've lied a lot, not me and you, but to minority communities for so many generations, going back hundreds of years. And here we are with the same kind of two-step going on with the government to people now. So you wonder why people don't listen. A decision that has to be made like that can't be one where you're talked down to by the president or anybody else. And that's what's going on right now. And that's causing a lot of distrust and a lot of noncompliance among the vaccine. And you just pointed out correctly, and it isn't just the black community. It's also the Latino community is very resistant to this vaccine, not getting enough attention.
Well, now let's talk about the boosters. And actually, before I get into the booster, last night on my show, Justice, I talked to Mark Brinovich, the attorney general from Arizona, who's bringing a lawsuit suing the federal government saying you don't have the right to force people to take the vaccine. And, of course, Joe Biden comes out. Another lie. I mean, I call him the liar in chief. If anybody has any questions, I'll send you a list. When he says, oh, we're never going to mandate it, and then, a few months later, I want everyone who's in the federal government, federal contractors, anyone in a business with more than 100 people, you got to take it. And the attorney general say, hey, wait a minute, you don't have that power. That the states have the power and not the federal government. But I want to talk about the booster shots, and I just want to set it up, and then I'm going to let you go, Dr. Mark Siegel from NYU. Biden jumped the gun. He said, oh, yeah, the booster shots are great. We're going to get it out, get them out this Monday, tomorrow. And this was several weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. And then all of a sudden, two senior people at the FDA resigned. And then now we find out that Biden, that there isn't an approval from the FDA. Now we find out that they're not recommending the booster shot unless you're 65 years old or older. So, I mean, who should be taking the booster shot? How long does the vaccine last? Does it lose its efficacy, which then requires the booster?
I'm going to answer that in a second. I want to first answer your point about the mandates, because I think it's ridiculous. I got to weigh in on this. Businesses of more than 100 people, there's a mandate. Excuse me, what's wrong with less than 100 people? Isn't that suspicious to you, Judge? I bet it's because the smaller businesses, he thinks he needs their vote by not mandating them. But the large businesses, he's already lost their vote. So them he'll mandate. When you have that kind of inconsistency, nobody follows you. And it should be up to the business itself what they think makes a safe public health situation. Now, on to the boosters. So I wanted to make that point. On to the boosters. There's very strong evidence coming out of Israel and the United Kingdom that shows that the Pfizer-BioNTech shot wears off, that it decreases its effectiveness after several months. The same is here in the United States, but they didn't talk about this data. This data that the CDC has, that the number of hospitalizations actually go up, that your effectiveness decreases somewhat after 4 months. They got enough evidence to show that boosters are needed. And the question is, who's going to get boosters? And they definitely have enough to show over 50, over 60 gets boosters, for sure, after a period of time. The idea that they set it up for another political black eye by saying 16 and up at first made no sense to anybody, and then they quickly changed it to 60 and up. Here's the point. I think you're making the same point. Mm-hmm. But, Judge, that kind of back and forth, and one group fighting, one group agreeing, the other group disagreeing, lack of unification, it smells of politics. It has nothing to do with public health. The public health is, and I am 100% certain on this, that this is an incredibly good vaccine, and the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, which I took myself, I believe that after several months, it decreases in power, at first against mild infections, but who wants that, and later against more severe infections, leading to the need for a booster. Now, Judge, you know what's really going on here politically? It's that people on the ultra-left think that if we give boosters to Americans, we're robbing people in underserved countries who we could otherwise donate the vaccines to. The politics here. And you know something? You remember PEPFAR with AIDS? We can do both. We can do the biggest charity and be the biggest provider for underserved countries in the world the way we always are. But we don't have to be self-hating, do we? We also can give vaccines to people who need it here, boosters.
Well, but then for them to say, you know, in the beginning, we're going to give it to 16-year-olds and up. I mean, the FDA hasn't approved it. The CDC has already been shown to be nothing more than a puppet of the teachers' unions. That the CDC is actually, you know, reporting on, reporting basically the same song and dance that the teachers are using. It's so frightening. The whole thing is frightening.
Judge, you're making a really great point here. I want to emphasize it, and I should have led with it a minute ago. The point is really right that the FDA is who should be leading the charge, not the press secretary, not the president, not somebody with no scientific background. The reason they pissed off the FDA and got two top officials, excellent scientists, to resign is because they're supposed to have a review process where the FDA reviews the data. Now, the FDA doesn't like to review data from other countries, which is why I feel the science comes out on the side of boosters. But what's really ugly here is for the president to make a statement before the FDA reviews anything. That undercuts your own public health officials.
And so at this point, when are the boosters going to be available, and who are the first people to get a booster dose? Is it going to be like COVID, where you had to be older to sign up? Do you expect that there's going to be a rush on the booster?
Well, first of all, right now you can get the booster if you're immunocompromised. I think we're going to see in the next few weeks that the FDA will formally approve this, and you'll be able to get it over the age of 60, or if you're a healthcare worker, probably, or a frontline worker. I think you're right that there's going to be a rush on this. It's going to be another mess like it was in the beginning. I want to take the moment to point out that if you've had COVID, and we both know people who have had COVID, if you have COVID, your need for a booster is very low, if at all, because COVID itself gives you a strong immunity. And if you took a shot on top of the COVID, you have a super immunity.
Well, let me ask you this. How do people go out and test and say, you know, I've had COVID? No, I've had the vaccine, but I'd like to be able to find out, you know, how strong are the antibodies now? I mean, am I okay? What test do you take for that?
Well, first of all, medically, you're a superhero, so I think you would be okay no matter what. I think you're okay. But there are two tests, and I'm not just kidding, Judge. I think you're in great health. There are two tests.
Yeah, he's my doctor, guys. That's why he said that. Dr. Mark Siegel, NYU. Go ahead, doctor.
There are two tests you can take. One test shows antibodies to the spike, which is what the vaccine gives you. Another test is antibodies to the nuclear capsid, which having COVID gives you. So I can tell you, but it's kind of a ballpark. I can tell you if you did well in making antibodies after COVID and if you did well making antibodies after the vaccine. I can tell you, but those are indicators. There's no number where I can say, oh, okay, you're in the clear, okay, you're covered. So they're just indirect indicators. We need, and should have had from the beginning, by the way, an actual indicator, a titer, a litmus test. We don't have it. So we're once again looking with squinty eyes at some number on the page. It's a failing, and we've done very poorly in testing in that regard. We're always behind on this, but those tests are helpful. They're not the actual answer. But overall, studies have shown that if you've had COVID, you get an immunity that's pretty durable and strong. And if you add the vaccine on top of that, it's a super immunity.
Okay, but so what is the test?
Well, the test is an antibody test. It's called the spike antibody protein test. That tells
you how well the vaccine works. Okay, so if any of my listeners want to know if they're still protected because of all this nonsense about this runs out and this is not as strong. Now they're saying Moderna is stronger than Pfizer. And somebody says, I got to find out before I take this booster because I'm done trusting these people. How do I find out if I still have the antibodies? So it's an antibody spike test?
It's called an antibody to the spike protein. By the way, that somebody who says that Moderna is stronger than Pfizer is Dr. Mark Siegel writing in the Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago.
Oh, is that? Okay. Well, then, you know, I took Pfizer. So did you. So right. Let me ask you something. If you took Pfizer as your vaccine, can you then get the Moderna booster?
Well, the answer is going to be yes on that. But right now, it's officially no. All the studies that we have on that are showing that crossovers work. And we think the same about the Johnson & Johnson shot, which some people took, that they probably can take another shot from either the Pfizer or the Moderna. If you took the Pfizer BioNTech or the Moderna and you're wondering how much protection you have, you can get a spike antibody protein test. It gives me, as a physician, indication of how much immunity you have.
Spike antibody protein test. All right, and the last question, Dr. Siegel, is, you know, if this Delta variant, and I had someone who was at my house, one of my daughter's girlfriends, she had a mask on, and I said, we're all vaccinated, and blah, 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 and I said, you don't have to keep your mask off on for us. And she said, well, I'm keeping it on for me. And I said, have you been vaccinated? And she said, yes. And so all of us are double vaxxed, and she said, I'm worried about the Delta variant.
She's probably overreacting. By the way, I forgot to call you grandma on the air and congratulate you again.
Then my daughter had a baby, yes. She doesn't want me to talk about it, but he's gorgeous.
Your daughter is absolutely wonderful. Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Right. She probably didn't need the mask, but we don't know who she was in contact with. So if you had a high exposure to this thing, it's possible you can carry it despite the vaccine. And yeah, she's right to be a little concerned about the Delta variant. So I'm never going to say no to somebody who I don't know where they've been and they're in close quarters in a new family. I'm not going to say no to that. I certainly don't wear a mask at home. But if I'm in an area where I think there could be some carrying of it, I might do it. So I never say don't wear a mask.
Right. Right. I got it. Okay. All right. So I guess, Dr. Mark Siegel, that we'll be waiting to hear when the boosters, if they get approved and when they'll be available. And, you know, here we go again. And let's hope that, you know, we don't get a lot more variants going forward. But I got to tell you, you know, I think that this new decision by the White House that, you know, everybody's got to get vaxxed. It's very disconcerting. It's the mandate and the control does nothing but create fear in the public. And fear creates a paralysis where people, you know, are just afraid to do anything and not do what they're being told to do. But any last words, Doctor, because we're running out of time here. Anything you want to add?
I completely agree with everything you just said. And I think that the way to do it is one-on-one, a conversation between the doctor and the patient. And by the way, we still don't have the vaccines in our offices, so I can have that conversation and then immediately administer the vaccine. I think from the beginning, and it's increasing, the federal government, especially the president, is showing a lot of arrogance in the way they're talking about this. That does not work. It backfires.
All right. Dr. Mark Siegel, NYU, you know, a brilliant physician and author, as well as a good friend and someone who has been following the COVID, this COVID, do I want to call it a crisis? Yeah, that shut down the economy for well over a year and a half. Thank you for your insight.